And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, that which becomes bold in scripture, makes its way into my mind and heart and eventually onto this microphone. The title, Interacting with God's Work. Interacting with God's Work. Then we have a defiant teaching called Really? Who Cares? Really? Who cares? Then we'll dive into the classic Christian thought process, share and share alike, and we'll close it out with advantage and action.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing politics. Not this hour. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. That was me doing it in slow-mo. I just want to make sure everybody knew that. All right, folks, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically, open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's justified radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, but you still win.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Surrender results in surprises we would never otherwise experience. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. I have found this to be so true. Now, the pessimist in you might be muttering, yeah, well, those kind of surprises I can probably do without. But I hope the optimist in you has walked long enough with Christ to be able to enter this discussion. Because that part of you will say, sure, surrender may sound like giving up, but actually it's so freeing. It can be the open door through which God brings so many wonderful things. When you finally relax your stranglehold on situations, His resolution makes you wonder why you ever worried.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. The greatest attribute of God is His holiness, and absolute holiness is the standard for anyone who wishes to be in His presence. But there's only one way anyone could become absolutely holy. And that would be if God's own holiness was given to that person. And that's exactly what happens through faith in Jesus Christ. Only through Christ's sacrifice and our faith in Him will God credit His holiness to our account. What a gift. By contrast, we are often unholy in practice, aren't we? So the Bible commands us to be holy yourselves in all our behavior. It says, let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. And when we do that, unbelievers will see there is a difference in how we live. And they'll attribute that difference, we hope, to God. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
All things are
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to encourage you, if you would like to, you are more than welcome to send me an email, davidspoon@kprz.com. Don't forget about our Facebook page, The David Spoon Experience. It's where all those Facebook posts go. I actually have to post 7 times every morning. I have 7 different Facebook that are all related. I just don't understand. Actually, we had somebody call up Facebook and say, can we just integrate all these? And they were like, well, you could have if you did it this way, but you didn't do it this way. And it's been, 2 years, so it's not happening. Like, okay. So I just copy, paste. I do it at 6 in the morning, which is why I get to work a few minutes later. Because I'm busy copying and pasting. Also, we encourage you to go to hisappointment.com if you're looking for a book that will challenge you or help you overcome the challenge of going through a very difficult experience in the Lord, be it relationship or church or anything. The whole idea is to recognize that when things are happening to you, God didn't take a vacation. I know some people are out there and they think, God, where did you go? You are gone. It's like God is not taking a vacation. In the next week or so, we're going to talk about what a deist is. And just again, for definition, a deist is a person that believes that God created the universe and created Earth and then went on an extended trip to some kind of Omega system and disappeared. And then there's a false claim that George Washington was a deist. That's not true because he believed in the Bible, the church, and the Trinity. So that's definitely just not true. And so we're going to talk about that. But here's the deal. The deal is when you go through something tough, it can feel like God is like a million miles away. And it does feel that way, which is why you got to be careful not to deny your feelings, but your feelings can't be the first car on your train or the first element of your train. It can't be at the front. It can't be the engine. Because if it's your feelings and your feelings are wrong because you ate too many tacos, you quickly understand that doesn't work. And so I was having a nice conversation with somebody who works here, somebody who's new, very, very wonderful woman. And here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you have to establish your authority in your life. Is your authority your mind? Is it your feelings? Is it what the church says? Is it what the government says? Where is your authority? Every argument is won or lost in one place alone. Where is a person getting their authority? And what I find fascinating is people will use, follow this, people will use their own selves as the authority, as though you or I are qualified to be the authority of what is or is not good, evil, or indifferent. Really? Have you looked inside yourself? Terrible decision. And I've heard TV commentators go, I know what's right or wrong. Well, it's a good thing God has you. What else would God do without somebody like you? It's like, come on, people. What is your authority? That is the ultimate question in almost every conversation. All right, let's get to our DDD. That one thing had nothing to do with the other. I just felt like I'm going on a riff there, so I did. All right, talking about interacting with God's work. We don't have a sound for this, do we? We do? No sound. The little finger up in the air means no sound. Doesn't mean you're picking your ear. It means there's no sound. Oh, I thought we were doing violin with a big cross in the middle of it. No? Okay. Interacting with God's work. Let's talk about it. Psalm chapter 77, verses 11 through 15. Notice how much I've been in the Old Testament lately. Ooh. Here's what it says. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all the works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among your peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Here's what you and I need to recognize. God's work in our lives needs to be a part of our meditation. Meditation. What the Lord has done in our lives. You know when you meditate on something? Here, let's get super fancy. Let's get super, super, super fancy. When you meditate on something, you think about it. It's
pretty much all there is. I know. They want to come up with all these different, you know, imagery, this, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, and you can blah, blah. And it's like, dude, you think about it, right? It's like, that's all there is. If you want an In-N-Out burger, and it's on your mind, and it's in your heart, and you want it in your stomach, you know what you do? You meditate on it. That's all there is. There's not. Stop making this stuff so spiritual. I'm thinking about it, right? As apparently my wife was thinking about this. She went on her first fast, and she went on a three-day fast. She'd never fasted before. First fast, 3 days. And then she wrote me today and said, I'm on my way to In-N-Out. Like, you know what she was meditating on after that fast? In-N-Out. Well, you know what we should be meditating on? What the Lord has done. And people are like, well, you should meditate on his word. You certainly should meditate on his word. But look at verse 12 of Psalm 77. It says, I will consider all the works, all your works, and I will meditate on all your mighty deeds. That's in your life. The things that God has done in our lives and the things that God has shown us about the things he does through his word, these are the things we should meditate on. That's what we should be considering. I know people think it's really important to consider Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews as the you know, bizarro people, and the people kind of freak out. And why are you thinking about that? How about the fact that the last time you had a real challenge, the Lord delivered you? I'm just curious if you get in the bathtub and think about that at all. I'm just curious. You know, it's like I'm in the bathtub now. I'm reading, you know, TV Digest or, you know, Mad Magazine or something. How about you get in the bathtub and you think, Lord, you know, when you answered that prayer, that changed my life. Well, it's like, what's wrong with that? You get into the hot tub. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting into a hot tub as long as you know it's clean. But when you get in the hot tub and kids just think, man, the Lord has delivered me. He's answered. So, Lord, you've been so nice to me. That's part of your meditation. Think about that. That should be a part of our meditation. Guess what? Uh-oh. Never stopping, are we? God's work in our lives should be part of our meditation, and God's work in our lives should be part of our verbalization. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. Not only should it be something that we think about, but the things that God has done in our lives should be part of the things that we talk about. One of the reasons that Christians enjoy fellowship with one another is the progress we make together in the kingdom of God and sharing the great things God has done in our lives. Let me tell you something. When I hear that God has done something in somebody's life who is a Christian, it encourages me. Because I believe that the Lord can do that for anybody. And that's cool. Because sometimes I need that, right? Sometimes you need to hear what I say. Sometimes I need to hear what you say. That's all part of this. So God's work in our lives needs to be part of our meditation. But God's work in our lives needs to be part of our verbalization. Where it says, come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. And that's us telling people about what God has done. This isn't brilliant communication, friends. This is going to Starbucks, having a coffee and going, oh, you won't believe what happened. It was like this and then this happened. That's all that is. As though it's got to be done in some certain holy sense. It's like, no, it's just got to be done. If you're waiting for yourself to be holy before you share what God has done, you never share, do you? You never say anything. How about you say, you know, I've done this. This has been going on in my life for the last 4 months. It's really been a blessing. Or this has been really hard. Or it's been this, but the Lord's got me through it. You know, I was really down and I got this scripture and man, I got pumped up. There's nothing wrong with that and everything right with that. God's work should be a part of our meditation on a regular basis, and God's work in our lives needs to be part of our verbalization. What we are thinking about that he's done, and then we're sharing that. But, you know, as soon as I said that, there was probably about 25% of the audience that just went, what? I have to share? And, you know, everybody right now, just that little freak out moment. What? And then they envision them standing in front of a crowd of 50,000 people. Because they're going to say, God, help me through this. But they don't want to stand up in front of the microphone because that's scary. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that, because our lives in which God has done his work, part of our meditation, part of our verbalization, but there is an hindrance to that, and that's what I want to talk about. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
People of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The cultural myth goes like this: the way things are the way things are always going to be. And that's just not the case. This is Jim Garlow. There's no question that morally and culturally, we're at a crisis. But any study of history shows that nations begin and nations end. The fact is, some credible voices are saying that we're close to the end of ours. And I'm not talking about Chicken Little types screaming, "The sky is falling." It's time to raise up as many people as we can who really understand the biblical underpinnings of all that's taking place. The loss of religious liberty, terrorism here and abroad, human trafficking, radical Islam, the role of Israel, defending biblical marriage. God's Word has all the truth, everything we need to address these contemporary, gutsy issues. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to talk a little bit about, we've been talking about interacting with God's work, and we talked about God's work being a part of our meditation and part of our verbalization. So I want to do that in the most realistic sense. And you would never think that this is part of the verbalization. So I'm going to share with you something. It's something in my life. You're going to find out it doesn't sound initially overly spiritual, but that doesn't mean it isn't spiritual. And I'm going to share with you that this is part of the sharing, part of the meditation, part of the verbalization. And you're going to think, how is that part of the kingdom of God? And I'm going to kind of string that together. So on Sunday, at 6:35, Carter Bear Spoon came into the world with more hair on his head than I have on mine. Like right now. Kid's got more hair than I do. Right now. Carter Bear Spoon is a male. I'm going to call him the bear. And he has a mom and a dad who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God. And they have committed to raising Carter as a Christian. So when I share with somebody, got a new grandson, it just so happens that it leads to the, oh, he's so cute, which you, by the way, you have to say of every baby that's 1 week old or less, or you could be like marched off the planet. So you are required to do that. But then I get to say immediately, yeah, yeah, my son's a Christian. He's going to raise him Christian. That'll be a third generation Christian. That is, you just think that is just a normal way to converse. That is sharing at every possible level. You see, you keep thinking that sharing has to be something grand when it could be something like, did my dad's birthday? It's a fantastic birthday. He told everybody how much he appreciated God's grace for him, that we were all a part of his family. That's sharing. You're thinking it's some big thing. It's like, no, it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be this big production. You're not putting on a play. You're just talking. I'm just talking. And so when we're talking about sharing, there's a fear that people really go through. And it is a fear-o-meter. You know what the fear-o-meter is? It goes ding, 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 ding when you're getting afraid. You remember that Danger Will Robinson, Danger Robot? Danger Will Robinson, danger. Okay, that's kind of what people are thinking. But that's because this thought is preceding the sharing. Ready? People think, and people often think this, well, I don't want to say something wrong or share anything and mess up or ruin it for God or say it wrong because I don't want to mess up a person. You know, I don't want to ruin what they might think, and I don't know how to talk well. And so there's all of those self-conscious, people-conscious attitudes going in when we're talking about sharing. And it doesn't need to be that way. Did you?
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Yeah, and that's what people think, that there's something bad to happen. It's like, and you never have to say all these brilliant things. I think my biggest passion to explain this is just tell your heart. You don't have to tell a theological three-point message. By the way, the best three-point message in the world is tell them what you're going to say, tell them, and then tell them what you told them.
That's what they used to teach preachers, but I'm just letting you know, you don't have to do that. You just go, how was your week? It was a tough week, but God got me through.
That's sharing. Because what we're thinking is, and I think it's fair to say, I think people acknowledge this, is we're thinking that if you share, you have to stand in front of a microphone in front of 50,000 people and tell all your life and expose everything. And then if you're not dressed properly, you're going to look bad. And if you spit on the microphone like I do, it's going to look terrible. Or if you have a lousy voice and you sound like a Muppet like I do, it's going to be awful. Right? Here's the thing you need to understand. God's testimony, ready, in your life, I love this, ready? God's testimony is his testimony. It's in your life, but it's his work. So whenever you're sharing anything about God, no matter what, it's what he's doing, not what you're doing. You're not sharing really your testimony as much as you're sharing what God did in your life. And it doesn't matter whether you think it sounds great or not. But just by sharing, people's lives get changed, including your own. Now, there is an element that I do want to talk about, and I only have a few minutes to do so, and it's really important, and that is there is an excessively large amount of people who care what other people think about them to the degree that they won't do anything that will make them seem goofy. And you don't want to, well, I don't want to share that. I don't want to come off like some guy with a sandwich board wrapped around my head, walking down the street with no clothes on but a sandwich board. So there's this reservation of doing anything that's kind of goofy-ish, right? Because you don't want to be goofy, right? But I will tell you that you can't live your life trying to impress other people or caring what other people think as though they were God. You have to live your life, and I have to live my life for God, not for what other people might think of us. Do you know if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, people think you're a moron, even if you have a PhD? Wouldn't even matter. Because how could you believe in such a silly fable? That's what they're going to say and think about you no matter what. They're going to think you're an undignified, uneducated, foolish person. You're not going to impress those people no matter what. And the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. Did you hear that? 1 Corinthians 1:18. The cross and its message are foolishness to the people that are perishing. People that are going to go to hell think you're a moron. That's you can't change that. People thought Jesus was nuts. He's either Lord, lunatic, or liar. We've decided that he's Lord. When you and I make a decision to share, it can't be based on how it may or may not come off or how it may or may not be impressive, because then you're living for people's responses. And when you live for a response to people versus to God, you're putting your hands of acceptance and approval in people who are already twisted. Why are you doing that? You know, God thinks you're excellent. Now, you're a sinner, and you're all messed up and all those things. That's why Jesus died for our sins. But God thinks you're just totally awesome, or he wouldn't choose you. He wouldn't want to be with you. He wouldn't teach you anything. He wouldn't care about you. But he does care, and he does teach you, and he does work with you, and he does direct you. And what we can't do in return is say, well, thank you, Lord, but everything I do, I'm going to make sure that people approve of me. Because even though you're the one that's loving me, they're the ones that can have the awkward response to me. As soon as you do that, you're living under the fear of people. As soon as you do that, you're living in a bondage. And you can't be free. I think people are fantastic. And then I think people are goofy, you know, wackadoodles. But I can't live for the fantastic or the wackadoodle. I got to do this for the Lord. And my testimony might be unique, or it might be plain as can be. It might be vanilla. It might be a plain old donut. But people like plain donuts, and people like vanilla, and people need that. So it doesn't have to always be sparkles. Sometimes it can just be you, because that's the way God designed it. And you don't have to make it something it's not. Just tell them. Yeah, this is where I'm at. I might seem like a nut job, but I'm God's nut job. There you go. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, and then we're coming back with yet even more. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The first step to receiving God's forgiveness is to admit that we need it.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Cindy Hess Casper. Mistakes were made, said the CEO, as he discussed the illegal activity his company had been involved in. He looked regretful, yet he kept blame at arm's length and couldn't admit he had personally done anything wrong. Some mistakes are just mistakes. Driving in the wrong direction, forgetting to set a timer and burning dinner, miscalculating your checkbook balance. But then there are deliberate deeds that go far beyond. God calls those sin. When God questioned Adam and Eve about why they had disobeyed him, they quickly tried to shift the blame to another. Aaron took no personal responsibility when the people built a golden calf to worship in the desert. He explained to Moses, "The people gave me the gold, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf." He might as well have muttered, "Mistakes were made." Sometimes it's easier to blame someone else rather than admitting our own failings. Equally dangerous is to try to minimize our sin by calling it just a mistake, instead of acknowledging its true nature. But when we take responsibility, acknowledging our sin and confessing it, the one who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our God offers his children forgiveness and restoration. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to help us spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier with email devotionals from Our Daily Bread. Sign up for the daily encouragement at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I will say one thing. We've been talking about understanding that our interaction with God needs to be part of our meditation and verbalization. And then we talked about the fact that sometimes we can get afraid of how people respond to us engaging in conversation. And it's one of those elements that's important for us to grasp, that some people are never going to accept your faith. They're never going to agree with you. They're never going to like you because of your faith or anything like that. There is a couple of things in Scripture that kind of drop the how could you possibly care about what they're thinking about you attitude. That's in the Old and the New Testament. If you're looking for an Old Testament example, 2 Samuel 6 is where David was like dancing with all his might, and he was being like totally like crazy dancing. I don't know if that's like, punk dancing or box dancing or what's this other, the rave stuff?
They call that getting crunk.
What is it called?
Crunk.
What is that?
That's crazy dancing.
Crazy dance. So it might have been like crazy nutsy dancing. And if you read 2 Samuel 6, 16 through 23, you know I'm not making this up. This is exactly what the passage says. So much so that that Michael, the daughter of Saul, who was David's wife, was like, "Oh my goodness, you are so undignified." And she was just bagging on him. I mean, that's what was going on. There's no justified. Don't try and make it. She was really upset because King David, took his shirt off and he was dancing like a nut job. And he's freaking out. And she's like, "Oh, that was just really, what a great way you've distinguished yourself today, going around half naked in full view of all the slave girls." And that's what the wife said, his wife. So here's two things that happened. One, David's response to her was, "Well, okay, but it was before God who chose me rather than your dad or anyone from your household that appointed me ruler over Israel." So his first response was, "Don't get mad at me because God picked me and not anybody in your family." And his response is, "I'm doing this unto the Lord." And then he dropped this bomb, which was incredible. Then he said, "You know what? I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will become even more undignified." You see, sometimes you can push somebody just so far. And she didn't like the way he was doing it. And he was like, "I got a message for you. One, it's not happy birthday. Two, God chose me. And three, I'm going to do it even more." I wish the Lord would give us a green light to do that more often. I just love that. But you know what happened is, she did the harumph and he did the harumph. And who did God support? She couldn't have children. Okay, so I think David won that argument because God closed her womb. Oh, so the idea there is that sometimes even if you're undignified by the worldly socialite standards, if you're doing it under the Lord, it's okay. I did have a minister be upset with me that I said this statement, and please forgive me. I'm not really seriously trying to offend anybody, but I said if a person sat in the corner and genuinely worshiped God and they were spitting nickels while they were doing it, who cares? How could you possibly care if you know, like you got these different churches and there's nothing wrong with standing perfectly still. There's nothing wrong with standing up. There's nothing wrong with dressing to the nines. There's nothing wrong with not dressing to the nines. And there's nothing wrong with a person who's expressive in worship and a person who's not expressive in worship. What's wrong is dropping that on somebody else, which you have chosen. And Michael didn't like David being so, flamboyant. And God's response was, David's the king. I support him. He did it to me. And you can't have kids. You got to be careful. Judging other people, you might even be a believer who judges other people. You shouldn't do that. Yeah. So if somebody wants to raise their hands and you're not comfortable with that, don't go to a church that does that, but don't be judging them. That's a realm you want to be very careful in. So I want to talk about this, though, the sharing the experience and the sharing the testimony, because it is important to understand this, because I think there is this notion that we have to certainly be brilliant in our sharing. And that is just so untrue. I want to tell you a story out of John chapter 4, verse 39 through 41. And then I want to talk about the Greek word, which is really important. This is in John 4, 39, says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And that word testimony is maturian in the Greek, which means sharing a personal experience. I find it amazing that there are theologians, and I love theologians like you have. I listen to systematic theology CDs in my car when I drive home because I find it. I love it. But there is this idea that, well, you can't really communicate the gospel through personal experience. People aren't going to believe in Jesus. It's like, what are you talking about? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are filled with that. Don't tell me you have to use the Romans Road, which I have used. Don't tell me you have to use a Jack Chick track, which I have used. Don't tell me you have to have an altar call with 500 people and 50 people responding, which I've gone through. I get all that. But don't sit there and say what Scripture doesn't say. And here's what it does say. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. And the word testimony is maturian. Because of her sharing a personal experience that she had with Jesus, people believed in Jesus. Period. Don't tell me they got to go to a 101 and a 102 class. They believed in Jesus because she shared what Jesus did. And that's it. I mean, it's not much more than that. My favorite story out of all these is this. This is, please forgive me. Please pray for me. I need help here. Mark 5, 18 through 20. Jesus was getting into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell people in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Here's a guy that had a demon, and 24 hours later, he's telling people, I had a demon, and Jesus came, and the demon left. And people were amazed. How spit and shiny do you think his presentation was? I say zero. I say he didn't know anything other than, I was full of demons, I was in the tomb, and then Jesus came along, and now I'm not full of demons and not in the tomb. You know, I'm not in the graveyard. And I think people were like going, whoa. And that was helping people make decisions for Jesus. And you're thinking, but it should be more theological. Nope. Nope, it shouldn't. It should just be us sharing what the Lord's done in our lives. I've had the opportunity not just to lead people to the Lord, which is a tremendous privilege, but just to pray for people who've really struggled in certain levels of drug addiction or thinking they could never get out of the situation just by sharing my own struggle. I mean, I used to get high 20 times a day. I used to have a bong sitting next to my clock and my phone so that when I woke up in the morning living at my mom's house, I started my day off the way I thought I should start my day off. I was a mess. I mean, a mess. One time I did so many horrible drugs, I was throwing up blood in the toilet for about an hour. I was about to go to the hospital and never check out. Or maybe I was never checking in. It was part of the problem. And so the whole idea is to understand you can go through these horrific elements and you tell people, you know, it was horrible, but the Lord brought me through it. He had mercy on my life. You guys have heard me say it before. I mean, I was 1/100th of a second away from blowing my brains all over a tree. How many times does a car go revving up a ramp, a 20-foot ramp, doing an aerial, full car in the air, because when it came down, glass was breaking and everything, and you're that close to pulling the trigger in your head, and the Lord sends a car at that moment shooting up in the air. I mean, if a rocket fell from the sky, it wouldn't have got there any faster. It was just like, oh, that was perfect timing. That was 1/100th of a second away from me not being on this radio right now. That matters because God can deliver you. He can deliver me. He can deliver your son. He can deliver your daughter. He can deliver your husband. He can deliver your wife. He can deliver your friend. He can deliver your children. He can deliver anybody. You can't quit. You got to keep believing. And that personal sharing of a testimony impacts people, and they understand the power of God. It's not my testimony. It's God's testimony. I'm part of the storyboard, but it's God writing it. That's what you need to know. That sharing makes the difference. That moment makes the difference. That communication makes the difference. All right, we're going to take a short break and then come back and close it out. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
A Christian apologist offers 6 stages evangelistic churches should navigate to increase their influence and effectiveness. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Lee Strobel shared strategies for increasing churches' evangelistic effectiveness during a session on pastoral apologetics. Strobel, professor of Christian thought at Houston Baptist University, began his presentation by saying he is concerned and fearful that the value of evangelism is diminishing in American churches. Here are his 6 stages of development. Stage 1 is where leaders in the church own and model the value that lost people matter to God. He said your church will probably be no more evangelistic than you are as its leader. Stage 2 is leaders must instill that evangelistic value into the congregation. They must help their congregation understand that an evangelistic lifestyle is normal for a Christian.
Stage three is leaders must empower a point person to lead the evangelistic charge. Strobel put it this way, if there is no name next to a task, nothing gets done. Stage four is leaders must make sure that 100% of the congregation is trained to naturally and effectively share Jesus Christ with others. Stage five, leaders must unleash those who are gifted or passionate about evangelism. And finally, stage six, Strobel said leaders must create catalytic ministries and events to reach their community for Christ. As healthcare costs continue to rise, many Christians are feeling the pinch. If you've been forced to choose between high health insurance premiums and huge tax penalties, it's time you considered a truly affordable alternative, MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to, you can send an email to davidspoon@kprz.com. I encourage you to do so. Nope. All right, forget all that. All right, so what we've been talking about is interacting with God, understanding that God's work in our lives needs to be a part of our meditation. And that God's work in our lives needs to be a part of our verbalization. But by verbalization, most people go, they get all like freaky. They're like, I don't want to have to share. I don't speak well. Which is fantastic because it's much better for the Lord to use a vessel that doesn't speak well, because then at least the Lord can do the talking, which is kind of like a big deal. But the idea is that people get afraid. They don't understand that it's not a performance, or they're concerned that if they engage, there could be some division or some friction, which is fully understandable, except if you never have any friction with people because you're trying to keep the peace in all cases, then you're not sharing perhaps not sharing the truth. And then how are they ever supposed to hear the truth? Because you're not sharing. You don't want to upset I want everything to be perfect and smooth. I don't think it'll be perfect and smooth for them if they reject Jesus Christ and you don't share. It's like, that's not perfect and smooth. That's bad. But you can't do it out of guilt. Stop that stuff. I don't care how many times a preacher or an evangelist gets up and teaches or preaches. So you don't do this out of guilt. You just recognize that if God is a part of your language, he's part of your language. You talk about it. Now, if you have a situation that calls for wisdom in it, just ask God to give you that wisdom. But you must understand that people respond to other people in experiences. Like, if I tell you, I had an experience water skiing, you would kind of make some identity connections with me in water skiing and you in water skiing, because people have that response to one another. So if you take the truth that happened in your life, your experience with God, and share that with other people, it makes an impact. It has an impact because it's God's story, or it's God's writing. You're the storyboard, or the bookboard, so to speak. You're the manuscript that God's writing on, but it's still his writing. And he knows how to impact. He knows how to do that. And then your job is not to say it perfectly. Your job is just to share it. I always think about that guy in the tomb, or in the cemetery, and that the guy had all these demons. That's the guy I always go to, because I'm thinking, like, that guy, he had spirits cast out of him, and he goes to Jesus. I want to go with you. I want to go with Jesus. He's like, no, you cannot go with me. I'm just like, that's like never happens. He goes, but go tell everybody. And the guy's like, okay. It's just like, what class did he go to? None. But I bet he was more effective than most evangelists on the planet. I love that stuff. All right, so one of the things that I think it does come down to is, and I've talked to people in my life and people in all walks of Christianity, that there is some reservation because
there is a bigger fear to speaking than there publicly speaking than there is to death. The reason that there's a bigger fear for publicly speaking than to death is because people are believers, and because of that, they're not as afraid of death as they are of public speaking. Public speaking seems to be one of those huge, huge fears. It's one thing to sit in a studio like this and talk in front of a microphone, have Tugboat Todd in the other room, and a couple other people around me. It's another thing to speak in front of 500 people, right? It's kind of a different element. So I think that's a valid point that people can say, you know, Dave, I really do want to share my testimony, but I get kind of, well, I won't use the Yiddish word, but let's just say you get caught up and you just like kind of freeze, right? And I understand that. I understand part of that can be because you're more concerned about how people think of you, but part of that can just be part of your makeup. You don't have the makeup that gives you that, maybe that boldness. So my response to that, if you're a person that's like, I want to share what God has done in my life, I want to be able to talk in a forthright manner, praying openly, sharing openly, I get afraid and not sure what to do, then I have a very simple process for you to look at. It comes out of Acts chapter 4, verse 27. Let's see. Okay, 27. 28. This is the disciples, Peter and John, being released, praying to the Lord. And they said, they did what your power and will decided before. Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now look at this, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. If you're a person that gets afraid to speak, afraid to pray, afraid to share, you are allowed, get this, to ask God to help you to be bold. You don't have to be bold by yourself. You can say, help. You can go, bold, me not, please help, thank you. I don't care how you say it. But Acts chapter 4, verse 29 demonstrates that the disciples, after they were apostles, also prayed for boldness. So you're in good company. But they asked God to help them speak with boldness. And if you are a person that has no boldness, the righteous are as bold as a lion, you can say to the Lord, I need some help. I don't think I can do the sharing. I get the concepts. I just need somebody to help me. Holy Spirit, will you help me? And he will. Because here is an example in Scripture, Acts chapter 4, verse 29, where they prayed for boldness and God said yes. There you go. So if you're a person who's afraid of that, I understand. Ask God to help you. Remember, the whole thing is a partnership. Ask God as your partner to help you. It's the best you can do. Just ask, help me, Lord. Help me to share. I think you'll be amazed. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, taking a 22-hour break. Then we're going to come back with more Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
The first step to receiving God's forgiveness is to admit that we need it.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Cindy Hess Casper. Mistakes were made, said the CEO, as he discussed the illegal activity his company had been involved in. He looked regretful, yet he kept blame at arm's length and couldn't admit he had personally done anything wrong. Some mistakes are just mistakes. Driving in the wrong direction, forgetting to set a timer and burning dinner, miscalculating your checkbook balance. But then there are deliberate deeds that go far beyond. God calls those sin. When God questioned Adam and Eve about why they had disobeyed him, they quickly tried to shift the blame to another. Aaron took no personal responsibility when the people built a golden calf to worship in the desert. He explained to Moses, "The people gave me the gold, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf." He might as well have muttered, "Mistakes were made." Sometimes it's easier to blame someone else rather than admitting our own failings. Equally dangerous is to try to minimize our sin by calling it just a mistake, instead of acknowledging its true nature. But when we take responsibility, acknowledging our sin and confessing it, the one who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our God offers His children forgiveness and restoration. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to help us spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier with email devotional.